Testing, testing. Could someone put in chat if they can hear me? Those on Zoom? All right, thank you.
Thank you. That number right up here if you need anything else. That's great. Reaches us and have a great meeting.
Thank you much. All right, those on Zoom, could you tell me if you can see my screen now? Now it's better than here now. Now people are going to cloud.
You get one?
He did.
Okay.
Thank you very much. He has an exercise.
Yeah. Look at my steps and.
I will be starting quite promptly because I have 20 minutes. So this presentation is different. And that includes questions.
Struggling for that. Well, there are three rooms next to him. So one is north, one is east, and one is west. And then that one gets to be south. I mean, like, south is just like somewhere else. I don't want to.
So I mentioned this earlier. This is only a 20-minute presentation, so and that includes questions. So I'm going to start promptly.
There's macarons out there, so people are
like, oh, man.
Yeah,
right. I mean,
man, how can we compete with that?
Thing, but macarons.
Understood. Understood. All right, I think I will get started. My name is Joshua Lambert, and I'm from Missouri State University. I'm a reference librarian, government document librarian, teach 4-credit classes, and lots of other things. One of those is statistics. And today I'm going to talk about mixing statistical code and documentation in a text-only notebook. And what does that mean? Well, you'll see. So what you see today is probably going to look a little weird. Maybe backward and old, that's okay. Sometimes it's good to have our minds' horizons expanded. And so just go with it. And I'm gonna show SQL code and some other types of code. You don't need to know what the code is doing. Just know that it exists and that it does something. And I'll kind of show you what it does. So I'm using a text editor here. And it uses a folding outline. Probably everybody knows what a folding outline is, but just in case you don't know, you hit tab on something and it will open it up. So we use that in HTML a lot on web pages. So I'm using a folding outline. You kind of have to watch the cursor to get the clues on what's happening. I'll try to explain when I'm opening another headline so that you understand why the screen is changing. Because I'm not going to use the mouse during the presentation, probably. We at Missouri State University use LD Light for reporting, and that's different from a lot of the other reporting mechanisms. But the only way to essentially interface with LD Light is with because our LD Light puts data into a Postgres database. And so then we have to get it out of there with SQL statements. So that's what you'll see some of today. A lot of people use dBeaver to create queries and extract data in that way. And I do that too sometimes, primarily for discovery of fields and tables and so forth. But once I know what the query is that I want to use, I go to my text editor here. And this text editor is called Emacs. It's an old one. Some of you might have heard of it. And it's using org mode, which allows me to have these folding outlines and the code block execution that you'll see. So in a way, what I'm going to show you is kind of like a Jupyter notebook, except in a text editor, if you know what a Jupyter notebook is. But it has a lot more functionality than Jupyter notebooks too. So I'm going to, what you see here is a code block. It's just a really small one. It uses a language nobody here probably uses. But the only thing, this is the code block, and the code is right there in the middle. And I have some results listed. I'll delete those. Hit Control-C, Control-C. Execute the code, and it executes the code and puts the results right there. And this is just with the built-in language of this text editor, but I'll show you that for other languages shortly. Org mode includes 43 languages built in that you can use these code blocks for. And if you've used dBeaver and you execute a query to get a little table at the bottom that lists maybe results, we'll see something similar here. So some of the languages that org mode understands in the code blocks include C, Python, Shell, SAS as statistical software, and then odd ones like LilyPond for sheet music. All right, so what I have here is an example of a code block. And again, not again, but I'll, now why would I do this? I guess I should answer that question. Why would I put my statistics in here? The answer is because when I write statistics for the ACRL survey each year, I do it once a year, and I have lots of other things to do the rest of the year, and I don't do those statistical processes again. So I have a hard time keeping track of what I want to do. And what I want to do is document my processes. I want my code to be with my documentation, and I want the results to be right there at the same time. So that's what I'm showing today. This code block is an SQL query. And again, if you're using dBeaver, you have to put in a form, you know, what database am I connecting to? What's the password? What's the login and so forth? In this text editor, I have to put that information near each code block in order for it to run the query correctly. So you don't need to know those details. I do not list any passwords, so I can't execute these SQL queries direct today. Otherwise, I'd have to show you all my passwords, and I can't do that. But if I were to execute this, this is for circulations in our LDLite instance. I'm going to scroll down, and I would get this table as a result. And it puts it right there in my text editor, right under the code. But most of the time, you want the totals to be at the end. So that was basically each month of the year and how many circs we had in that month. That's what that code was showing. So if I want to add totals, I could do that using the SQL. And in that case, I added this data. And there's some more at the end of my statement that I added. You don't need to know this, but just know there was stuff added. And then when I view the results, there's a total line here that wasn't there before. You can do that with SQL, that's what it shows, but org mode happens to have essentially a spreadsheet functionality built in too, using those tables. So instead of using an SQL query, I could just start with that table of results, and then if I want to total it, I can total it, and I've actually cheated and put some stuff here already, but I'll demonstrate. So I'll add a line. And then I'm going to add a formula. Execute the formula. And it will automatically put in the totals for this column. So that's another way that we can use tables in org mode. So once I get some data out of whatever, wherever I'm pulling it, I can insert it here. All right, so I'm gonna fly through this and then I'm gonna show you an example where it will make more sense how I use this in everyday life. So there are code blocks and I've been showing you those and you just get a code and the results. But you can also make that the variables set within the code block remembered for the next code block. That's like if you're using a Python shell, you say x is equal to hello world, and then you say print x, and then it prints hello world. So that's essentially what these two code blocks are doing here. So I can say execute that, and it won't show any results. Then I can execute this, and the results would show up right here. Obviously, this is contrived. It's not useful when you're gathering statistics, but if this was a pandas, a pandas function on a data frame, then it could show some good results, and I will show one of those in a little bit. So that's sessions. You can communicate from code block to code block. You can also communicate using the results of the code blocks, and you can do that. So I had a table above in the document. I didn't tell you, but the table was named CIRCS, CIRCS, and so now because I named that table somewhere in my document, if I refer to that here, then it will show, I can execute this and it will show right back up. So let me get rid of the old one, then I'll do it. Actually, I won't. I'll leave the example. So if I execute this, it would show up as this is the result. And that's simply because I declared that variable previously in my document, essentially, using a code block. So now let's put it together. I need to figure out how to come up with the information for ACRL question 40A. That is, how many titles does our collection have? So if I want to do that, one thing I could do, well, I want to go through our Folio database, and I want to pull everything, every title that matches certain criteria. And criteria are things I have to set, and I set those based on location code. I don't know how everyone else counts their titles, but that's one way that we do so. So I can set a mapping table, and this is something I built by hand, but I don't, I'm going to decrease the font size here. So just so you get an idea of scale, these are location codes that we have in Folio, and only if there's an X in this column do I want those location codes to be included in my SQL query that I'm going to run. So this is not SQL, this is just an org mode table, but it's going to get the data pulled from there and put elsewhere. But each year when I run this, I need to figure out, is the table I used last year current? Meaning, do I have all location codes, or have we created new ones or gotten rid of old ones? And in order to figure that out, I have to run a query, a short little SQL query on LDLite. I do that, and I get all of the location names and the code and the IDs. So then I can, but we have so many, I don't want to manually check, are these all in that table I just showed you before? So I run another code. This one happens to be Emacs Lisp again, but it used to be Python. I just switched it over recently. And it gives me two results here, not two results, but a table with two lines. That's basically a list comparing all the location names from one year to the next. So that mapping table I showed with the X's, and that was pretty long, is the column with the names the same as the column I ran this year using my SQL query. And so rather than having to look again sideways through this, I'm going to do a set difference using pandas code block. So as you notice, I'm using SQL, I'm using Emacs Lisp, I'm using Python, and whenever I want to. Why do I choose one over the other? Whatever I think is the best tool for the job is what I do. And so then it puts the results in here. And essentially, if I see anything in this middle column, that means something has changed. So I've now evaluated last year's manual table that I created of location names and mappings with the new year, and nothing has changed. So I don't need to take any further steps there. So again, my goal is actually to find how many titles I have. All I've been doing is messing with location codes at this point, because you have to verify that when you're collecting statistics. Now I want to gather all of the UUIDs. And why do I want to do that? Well, my mapping table doesn't list UUIDs, but when I do an SQL query, I have to use I have to use UUIDs. So I need to run another query to gather all of that. I do that. Actually, it's not a query because I've already created a table up here that had the UUIDs. I'm just gathering it all in another code block, and the results. And then eventually I can take these. Now, the LDLite database that I have access to, I do not have write access to. So I can't, in a query, gather all the UUIDs and automatically insert them into another SQL query and run it again. I can't I can't save those UUIDs into a temporary table in our Postgres database. So I have to do it outside of SQL somehow. And I do that, I have to create the query outside of it. And I can just copy and paste these. Some of you probably know what a rectangle copy is. So I'm just highlighting all the UUIDs, copy and paste them into last year's code block, get rid of the old UUIDs, put the new ones in. And then at the end of this is the result, count 564,563. Again, you're probably wondering, why would somebody do this? Well, again, why do I? Because I can't remember what I'm doing from one year to the next, and I want all of my documentation right there with my code, and I want it right there with my results. All of it, one file, one text file, it's all there. And this is how I've figured out I can do that. I'm going to switch my file now and go to, this is essentially my working statistics file. In reality, it's 4 megabytes, I think. It's a 4 megabyte text file. And what you're seeing here is just a folded tree version of that. So there are millions of lines of code in here or of text. And so I can unfold what I need to. I'm going to show you the ACRL survey. Let me decrease. Sorry for all the pop-ups. All right, now it's going to be really small, I understand. But I just want to give you a little bit of idea on the scale and how it looks. So this is the survey, the ACRL survey for 2024. It's all right there. It's in folded tree version. And so I'm going to open this part of the tree, and there's a line for each question of the ACRL survey. So I'm going to jump down to the one I was looking at. Actually, I think that's a little better. Let's go down to 40A. That's the one I was showing you before. I'm going to make it go to the top of the screen. And so all the different tables I mentioned before and code blocks are right here. And then the answer I put in a line, in a property line right here. So I have basically every question on the ACRL survey, maybe, you know, 15, 20 lines long, or it could be thousands of lines long. Some of these questions do have thousands of line of documentation, code, results, and so forth, and they're all just in this one file. I can search for the file or search in the file if I need to. So the most complicated thing that I create this for probably is the book volume. That's the most difficult of all the questions related to collections. And so at the end, I have to create a query. Let me see if this is the query. Yeah, this is the query, but I have to paste all those UUIDs in that I talked about before. But it's not hard to do because you just copy and paste. Let me show you. When I get ready, I'm moving really fast. Sorry about that. I'm folding trees, basically. Oops. When I want to do 2005, I just copy that. Paste the old one in here. I can do a search for 2024, change it all to 2025. All my code blocks, all my question numbers are there, all right there. I just go and find the year, change the year in the code block, run, execute. The results show up right there in the file again. And it's really quick and easy to do, depending on if there have been changes in our database. And I'll give you an example of the documentation that's involved. So I have, you know, access the survey. There's not much there. Instructions, just a few. My comments to myself. And you can see how I integrate my documentation. Let me find something that has a little more. Here's a paragraph of explanation with another table that I've created. This is a table that I pull. I can pull one line out of it for question 40 when I get to that. I can pull it for question 40A, 42, and so forth. So I just wanted to show that to you all quick and get, you know, maybe make you think, I've never thought of something like that before. Probably not. You might be running screaming from this room thinking, why would I think of something like that? But again, if you want to identify the documentation, the code, and the results all in one place and have it there, then you can do it this way. And I've found it to be a very useful way to make reproducible research and reproducible statistical gathering. Now, questions, and I'll be glad to show you anything.
Two questions. Number one, how do you share this? Do you have this entire file version control somewhere for your colleagues?
Nobody else asks to look at such things. I don't have to share it.
But like if your computer dies and you lose.
Right. I do have it under, it's in a Git repository, and my university would have access to those drives. It's basically OneDrive folder, and so they would have access to it. But one of the reasons I document things so clearly is that they could actually go in and print this thing if they really wanted to. I mean, it's thousands of lines long. They could print just a part of it, and you can even export it as HTML super easy in 10 seconds. And then they could read the documentation. They don't have to understand any of Emacs, any of org mode, but they can read the documentation. They can see the code if they know how to use code. If they don't, then they have to just read the documentation and look at the results and say, okay, the code did that. Now I need to figure out how to make something else do that outside of his processes. So it's, in my opinion, I could just hand it off as a HTML file sometime down the line and people could figure out what to do.
I had a question, and in fact, somebody's just asked exactly the same question online.
Okay.
Which was, you mentioned like org mode, you mentioned it being similar to Jupyter Notebooks, but I don't know if you said better, but you said that you could do more maybe. I wondered if you could say a little bit about how is it better or how does it go beyond Jupyter?
Org mode can be used as a calendaring mechanism, as a task scheduling mechanism, as a time tracking thing. I can store my DVD information in here. I use org mode anytime I teach a class. It's always my notes. In fact, I have one file that's like 10,000 lines long that has all my instruction notes for all the classes I've taught for the last 5 years. It's just all in one text file. So I only say org mode can do more because I'm not even touching the surface of what it can do. I'm just showing you what's relevant for the processes today. Good question, and I didn't emphasize that well enough. A session must be the same language because it's running that like a Python shell somewhere in the background or some other shell. But you can do it cross-language. If you name the code block, then the results will have that same name, and you refer to that name as a variable in another code block. And so that's what I was doing. My table, which I created manually in org mode with the X's, then is fed into with a variable into an SQL query, and that's fed into pandas or Python. Then I take it back to SQL eventually to do more. So if you pass it as the results of a code block, then yes, you can do that. And it doesn't have to be saved in the file either, because you might think, I'm going to get hundreds of thousands of results. I don't want it in my text file. You can save it as a separate file and just point to it as a variable. You give it a file name as a variable name, and it pulls it into a code block then. Any other questions?
Tips on how to make documentation accessible to people who maybe don't understand the code as much so that they can use it if they ever come to.
Depends on which code. In the end, we don't have any other way to get code. We don't have any other way to get statistics other than to use SQL. So you just have to do that. There are, you know, if we didn't use LDLite, then there might be other methods, but that's what we have. So no for that one, but for things like the Emacs list code, yes, there'd be easy ways to use whatever you know, whatever language to get around that. I don't spend the time explaining the code itself, meaning the language of what I'm writing the code in. I assume that people can look at the process because I'll say, first step, go to EBSCO admin. Next step, you know, go to the counter statistics. Next step, run this counter report, download. It downloads as a CSV file, put that as a variable to a code block, and then process it in some way. So that's the kind of documentation that I had.
One point from online, oh. You can repeat things.
Yes. Sorry, I walked away from the mic.
Have you done any examples or work where you combine maybe the SQL work you've demonstrated with API, uses of the Folio API to do API enhancement from, say, a list of UUIDs or anything like that?
I have not, because I don't know the Folio API well enough myself. You could. It would not be, I mean, because you can run shell code blocks. So you run, what if you know bash you or curl or whatever, to you do your API call, you get the results, whatever it would look like in the command line, it's going to be the results in the file here or in wherever you save it. And so you would just use that as a variable in the next code block somehow. I think we need to exit the room because there's another session in 4 minutes. So thank you very much.